space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
So, you're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com, but it gets better than that. So, if you want the actual start page of everything that I'm working on for the moment, go to www.shazizz.com, and it'll give you links to everything. So, with that said, renewable ridiculousness. That's what we're going to talk about today, and so I'm going to play a few things, and I'm going to probably do what I do best, mouth off about them. Anyway, been working real hard on the site, trying to get everything situated, everything back to the HTTPS thing, so that we'll get better search results, hopefully, if Google leaves us alone long enough. But if you notice, there's some differences on the sites. We got a new radio player there that you can also share the link on Facebook and Twitter. So if you do happen to have Facebook and Twitter and you want to help us out, just click it over there and share it for us and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, let's just get past all that. We got a really cool looking website that I'm working on, and let me know what you think about it. I appreciate that. So anyway, let's see if we can get our act together here. I've been sitting there fighting with the weather and electricity and all this other craziness, but anyway, let's start with this one right here. Now, keep in mind, these podcasts that I'm going to be playing, I don't agree with the majority of everything that these folks are saying, but it still needs to be said anyway, because there is some renewable ridiculousness going on, and it's just kind of contrary or counterproductive, or it's kind of not like helping anything. Oh, well, let me let this guy here talk for a second.
What are natural resources? Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment. Earth's natural resources include light, air, water, plants, animals, stone, soil, minerals, and fossil fuels. In our solar system, the Earth is truly unique, and it's kind of amazing. People of Earth must have some natural resources to live. They use others to simply make their lives better. Natural resources can be considered either renewable or non-renewable.
And this is Donna!
Non-renewable resources have a fixed amount, and they can be used up. Examples include coal, natural gas, oil, minerals, and nuclear energy. Technically speaking, even the sun's energy is non-renewable, but there's so much of it, it can't be used up in a human timescale. Renewable resources are just that. They are replenished by nature within a very short period of time. Renewable resources rely on the Earth's natural processes to be replaced. Renewable resources include plants, animals, water, and air. Trees are renewable. They can be used by humans and then replenished by nature in a relatively short amount of time. Here's how it works. We can cut trees down for lumber to build houses or furniture, or even use the wood to make something like this awesome guitar. In place of the tree we cut down, we plant a seedling, and in 40 to 60 years, there's a full-grown tree to take its place. Water, through the water cycle, is replenished or renewed much, much more quickly. The water that we drink, which incidentally makes up most of our bodies, is replaced in a short period of time by the water cycle. Evaporation, condensation, precipitation. See? Replenished by nature. That's what makes it renewable. It's a cycle. The cool thing is, water is moving naturally through the water cycle, and the energy in that movement can be harnessed by humans as renewable power. Wind energy comes from solar heating of the Earth from the sun. The heated air rises and the cooler air moves in to replace it. Ta-da! We have wind. The wind energy can be converted to energy that humans can also use. There are cycles all throughout nature. The oxygen we humans consume to live is replenished by natural cycles. We exhale CO2, carbon dioxide, which is absorbed by plants. And then, in combination with sunlight, in a process that we call photosynthesis, they exhale oxygen and we can breathe. It's replenished by nature. There are lots of cycles in nature. The Krebs or nitrogen cycle, the carbon cycle, the oxygen cycle, the water cycle. There is also a rock cycle. There are even cycles within the Earth, like geothermal energy. The water starts as rainwater that has fallen to the surface of the Earth, percolates down to a magmatic, not magnetic, heat source in the Earth. That heated or hot water now rises back to the surface because it's lighter. That hot water can be used as energy by humans, and the cycle starts all over again. This cycle is continuously replenished by nature. Fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, oil, are valuable and powerful sources of energy for humans. We make use of them by extracting the energy they contain by burning them. They are, however, non-renewable on a human timescale. When used, they are not replaced. Coal is a fossil fuel. It began as plants in a swamp a very, very long time ago. After the plants died, thousands of years of pressure from sediments pressing down, combined with heat, changed those plants into coal. Fossil fuels are extremely useful to humans, but they're not being replaced as quickly as they are being depleted. So eventually, they'll be used up. They are non-renewable. The sun is an interesting case in the renewable versus non-renewable conversation because the sun is really huge. And technically, its energy is non-renewable. It's not being replaced.
But the sun is so huge.
The use of the sun's energy by humans will not use it up. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? That something could be that huge? Imagine that the sun is the size of a basketball. Then that would mean that the Earth is the size of this wiffle ball. Nope. This eyeball. Nope. The Earth would be the size of this teeny weeny little BB. That's right. If the sun were the size of this basketball, the Earth would be the size of this itty bitty little BB. That means there's a lot of solar energy available to us Earthlings from the sun. A lot. I even have a 21-panel solar array in my front yard to capture the sun's energy and to use it in my home and TV studio. I once visited an elementary school in Southern California that had solar panels over its parking lot. It used that energy to power the elementary school. Cool, right? These days, there are lots and lots of humans. Energy is necessary for all human activities. Right now, there are about 7 billion of us. That's the most in all of human history. So, using nature's resources in very smart ways is really important. Alternative energy resources are considered renewable resources and rely on natural processes. Flowing or moving water, sunlight hitting the surface of the planet, heat in the core of the planet, the movement of air, plants growing and dying, are all part of the Earth's natural systems which produce energy that humans can use. Alternative energy resources include sun, wind, geothermal, biofuels, or biomass. Wind energy comes from changing the power of moving air into a useful form that we can use. Wind can be captured by wind turbines that spin and produce mechanical energy, which is converted into electrical energy, which we can use. Solar energy. Energy coming from the sun is converted to electricity that we can use. Sunlight hits a solar panel. The solar energy is converted to electric energy, and we can use it. Hydro or water power. Hydropower is energy captured from moving water. Hydroelectric energy is created by a dam. Falling water, driven by gravity, a natural system, turns a turbine which creates mechanical energy. A hydroelectric generator converts the energy into electricity that we can use. Tides on the oceans can also accomplish the same thing.
Huh?
Energy from the movement of water, of tides, can be captured as energy by humans. Geothermal energy uses heat from inside the earth. Hot steam and water can be tapped by wells and brought from deep beneath the earth's surface. The steam can be used to spin turbines to generate electricity. Or the energy from the heat can be extracted directly from the pipes for humans to use as energy. Biomass or biofuel energy is fuel made from plant or animal waste. Energy from the sun is stored in plants. That energy is then converted into a solid, liquid, or gas that can provide energy for human use. Non-renewable resources exist in a fixed amount, so once used up, it's going to take millions of years to make more. Non-renewable resources include coal, natural gas, oil, and nuclear energy. Fossil fuels are pretty amazing. They've allowed humans to grow more food than ever before, design and build space-age homes that can control light and temperature, and even travel outside our biosphere to the moon and beyond. Unfortunately, when burned, fossil fuels create hydrocarbon pollution that harms the planet. Right now, the vast majority of energy we humans use is non-renewable. Renewable resources, solar, biofuel, hydropower, geothermal, and wind, are sometimes called alternative energy because they are less commonly used than non-renewable resources. Renewables produce less pollution and can be replenished by nature in a relatively short amount of time. Renewable. Use it, it comes back. Give it some time, it comes back. It comes back. The future of renewable technology is very exciting. Be on the lookout for cars that can be powered by water, or plants, or even state-of-the-art cars that run on electricity. Which, of course, can be powered by the sun. Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment. They can be non-renewable or renewable.
What are natural resources?
Natural resources are things that people use that come from the environment.
Ha ha ha!
Yeah, that's pretty much how I felt there at the end there towards that, about that whole entire deal. Renewable and non-renewable. Everything's renewable. All of it is renewable. Science says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? It doesn't matter what it is that you've used, whether you think you've used the water or you think you've burned some firewood. It doesn't matter. Everything is basically just changing its molecular or chemical structure, and it's actually adding back to the environment the same materials that it was before it ever became what it is now. So with that said, the fossil fuels, the coal industry, all this kind of ridiculousness going on, there's no way you're ever going to run out of any of these different deals until this world stops doing what it is and has been doing for years, for decades, or however long you think this world's been around. All this stuff has been here, everything, every single chemistry, every single chemical, everything. You know, mankind is so doggone arrogant, we think we can make some stuff that's going to last forever, but there's nothing that nature cannot break down. Now, granted, there are some things that nature takes a longer to break down because, it, you know, the processes or whatever, you know, are a little bit different, but nonetheless, it all breaks down. Whether it be plastic, you know, with being deteriorated by UV rays, or, you know, the hot temperature and the cold temperature, and eventually plastic becomes incredibly brittle and it starts working its way back towards its natural state. Whatever the chemistry was that put up the plastic to begin with, the petroleum products that you hear about all the time. So, you know, the petroleum products, which is everything, it ain't fossil fuel, it wasn't made by a bunch of dinosaurs, it was made by everything from plants and microorganisms and then water and chemistry and heat and pressure and all that kind of stuff. So there's no way you're ever going to see a day when what they like to call fossil fuel is ever going to run out. It's not possible. It's not physically possible. The Earth would have to stop doing what it has been doing since day one. Otherwise, it's not gonna, you know, you ain't gonna run out of it. Never. But either way, the whole point is that a lot of the people who, you know, use these terminology like renewable or non-renewable, all they don't understand that every single material, every single chemistry, all of it is being generated on a regular basis, no matter what. We take this one, we mix it with that one, we get plastic. All right, we take this process and we do this with it, we get concrete. So, you know, it's all the same exact stuff. Even concrete will deteriorate over a period of time. You know, some of them, the way that we put things together, last a lot longer than, you know, if you're going to be throwing it in the trash and you want it to biodegrade, it's going to last a lot longer than we anticipated, but nonetheless, nature's still going to break it down. Eventually, it ain't going to be there. But it's going to go back to what it was before. Planting trees, you know, same exact thing. Cutting down trees, now, yeah, it takes quite a long time to get a very large tree. You know, quite a few years to get a very large tree. So, in that incident, if you want a specific area to remain, you know, beautiful, it might be a good idea not to cut down all the trees. And so, with that said, regardless of what you're doing, if you're cutting trees down over here, there's trees growing up over there. You stop mowing your grass for a couple weeks, it gets really high. A couple months, it gets even higher than that. You know, a couple years and now you're living in the jungle again. So nature's in charge. Regardless of what you want to try to think, nature's in charge. As far as the pollution portion of the deal, sure, we pollute on the local level, but and sometimes in a larger scale than that, but there's nothing that we can do to this planet that this planet can't clean up eventually. Now the question is, do we have time to wait around for the planet to clean itself up? Should we be going out there killing off all the different species and, you know, all that kind of stuff like that. No, obviously not. But there's a whole lot to alternative energy than a lot of people think. And it's sometimes as a trade-off on how you manufacture things or, you know, how things actually function. But the same people that's out there talking about saving the planet are the same people who spend the majority of the time trying to fight against any type of move towards renewable energy, which is, it doesn't bother the energy industry at all, because the energy industry, whether it's be the fossil fuel or nuclear power, you know, they're still making money. They don't care. You know, and they don't even really care if you go over to the doggone solar panels or even to the wind turbines. They don't care about that either. You know, it's all about who's in business. Who actually owns the business that is the solar power companies and stuff? You think it was the average Joe who was able to afford massive solar arrays or massive wind farms or hydroelectric dams and stuff like that? Now, it wasn't the average Joe. These companies out there, they're about a mile and a half steps worth of... they're ahead of the game. So, when it comes down to it, they're still going to be in charge. They're still going to be charging you an electric bill as long as you're using the system's power. But the next thing that I'm going to play here, and like I said, I don't agree with all these podcasts that I'm playing. I'm just kind of letting it play out because this is the kind of ridiculousness, renewable ridiculousness. It's kind of, it never runs out, man. It's pretty amazing. But it's what hinders the whole thing about free energy. It's what makes this world, you know, a lot more difficult to get new ideas on the table because of the way that people's mindsets are as far as how we should get to where they think we need. Now, California, they're supposedly the leaders in renewable energy, but the Californians are the ones fighting the hardest against all of it. But let's move right along here. I want to jump into this here.
Thank you very much. When I was a boy, my parents would sometimes take me camping in California. We would camp in the beaches, in the forests, in the deserts. Some people think the deserts are empty of life, but my parents taught me to see the wildlife all around us. The hawks, the eagles, the tortoises. One time when we were setting up camp, we found a baby scorpion with its stinger out, and I remember thinking how cool it was that something could be both so cute and also so dangerous. After college, I moved to California and I started working on a number of environmental campaigns. I got involved in helping to save the state's last ancient redwood forest and blocking a proposed radioactive waste repository set for the desert. Shortly after I turned 30, I decided I wanted to dedicate a significant amount of my life to solving climate change. I was worried that global warming would end up destroying many of the natural environments that people had worked so hard to protect. I thought the technical solutions were pretty straightforward. Solar panels on every roof, electric car in the driveway, that the main obstacles were political. And so I helped to organize a coalition of the country's biggest labor unions and biggest environmental groups. Our proposal was for a $300 billion investment in renewables. And the idea was not only would we prevent climate change, but we would also create millions of new jobs in a very fast-growing high-tech sector. Our efforts really paid off in 2007, when then-presidential candidate Barack Obama embraced our vision. And between 2009 and 2015, the U.S. invested $150 billion in renewables and other kinds of clean tech. But right away, we started to encounter some problems. So first of all, the electricity from solar rooftops ends up costing about twice as much as the electricity from solar farms. And both solar farms and wind farms require covering a pretty significant amount of land with solar panels and wind turbines, and also building very big transmission lines to bring all that electricity from the countryside into the city. Both of those things were often very strongly resisted by local communities, as well as by conservation biologists who were concerned about the impacts on wild bird species and other animals. Now, there was a lot of other people working on technical solutions at the time. One of the big challenges, of course, is just the intermittency of solar and wind. They only generate electricity about 10 to 30% of the time during most of the year. But some of the solutions that were being proposed were to convert hydroelectric dams into gigantic batteries. The idea was that when the sun was shining and the wind was blowing, you would pump the water uphill, store it for later, and then when you needed electricity, run it over the turbines. In terms of wildlife...
Before he gets too much farther, he's going to start talking about the doggone birds getting karate chopped out of the sky, so be ready for that one.
Some of these problems just didn't seem like a significant concern. So when I learned that house cats kill billions of birds every year, it put into perspective the hundreds of thousands of birds, rather, that are killed by wind turbines. It basically seemed to me at the time that most, if not all, of the problems of scaling up solar and wind could be solved through more technological innovation. But as the years went by, these problems persisted and in many cases grew worse. So California is a state that's really committed to renewable energy, but we still haven't converted many of our hydroelectric dams into big batteries. Some of the problems are just geographic. It's just you have to have a very particular kind of formation to be able to do that, and even in those cases, it's quite expensive to make those conversions. Other challenges are just that there's other uses for water, like irrigation, and maybe this is the most significant problem, is just that in California, the water in our rivers and reservoirs is growing increasingly scarce and unreliable due to climate change. In terms of this issue of reliability, as a consequence of it, we've actually had to stop the electricity coming from the solar farms into the cities because there's just been too much of it at times. Or we've been starting to pay our neighboring states like Arizona to take that solar electricity. The alternative is to suffer from blowouts of the grid. And it turns out that when it comes to birds and cats don't kill eagles. Eagles kill cats. What cats kill are the small, common sparrows and jays and robins, birds that are not endangered and not at risk of going extinct. What do kill eagles and other big birds like this kite, as well as owls and condors and other threatened and endangered species, are wind turbines. In fact, they're one of the most significant threats to those big bird species that we have. We just haven't been introducing the airspace with many other objects like we have wind turbines over the last several years. And in terms of solar, you know, building a solar farm is a lot like building any other kind of farm. You have to clear the whole area of wildlife. So this is a picture of one-third of one of the biggest solar farms in California called Ivanpah. In order to build this, they had to clear the whole area of desert tortoises, literally pulling desert tortoises and their babies out of burrows, putting them on the back of pickup trucks and transporting them to captivity, where many of them ended up dying. And currently, the current estimates are that about 6,000 birds are killed every year, actually catching on fire above the solar farm and plunging to their deaths. Over time, it gradually struck me that there was really no amount of technological innovation.
Hold on a second. Birds, I'm gonna have to replay that. Boy, I missed that one there.
It's a lot like building any other kind of farm. You have to clear the whole area of wildlife. So this is a picture of one-third of one of the biggest solar farms in California called Ivanpah. In order to build this, they had to clear the whole area of desert tortoises, literally pulling desert tortoises and their babies out of burrows, putting them on the back of pickup trucks and transporting them to captivity, where many of them ended up dying. And currently, the current estimates are that about 6,000 birds are killed every year, actually catching on fire above the solar farm and plunging to their deaths.
Now, you want to tell me that ain't renewable ridiculousness? So there's a new one right there. Birds are catching on fire above the solar panels and plunging to their death. So not only are the birds getting karate chopped out of the sky by the wind turbines, but they're catching on fire above the solar panels. Good job, California! Are you serious? Oh man, that's probably the best one yet. Doggone birds catching on fire and flying above the solar panel, burst into flames, man. And next thing you know, we're across the street over there, doggone wind turbines karate chopping a buzzard out of the sky. And I don't know what the heck's going to happen with the geothermal, man. Oh, shoot. Doggone crawdads will be coming up out of the ground, already boiled and everything. Boy, I tell you what, that's about as intelligent as those people that were trying to say that the solar panels would suck all the energy out of the sun. And even though science is sitting there talking about how much larger the sun is and how long it's actually supposedly been around, and you're going to drain it dry and it's all going to be dark and we're all going to freeze to death. These folks, I don't know where they go to learn science at, man, but I'll tell you what, the system has a clown show going on of biblical proportions, because these folks ain't got a clue at how nature really works. But hey, you know, let's keep on going, because we got to find out what other tragedies. We got birds catching on fire above solar panels. We got birds getting karate chopped out of the sky by wind turbines. Man, I got to hear what's next here.
Over time, it gradually struck me that there was really no amount of technological innovation that was going to make the sun shine more regularly or wind blow more reliably. In fact, you could make solar panels cheaper, you could make wind turbines bigger, but sunlight and wind are just really dilute fuels. And in order to produce significant amounts of electricity, you just have to cover a very large landmass with them.
No, you don't. You have to know how to use it efficiently. You have to be able to store energy. And once you understand how energy actually moves, it's ridiculously simple, and you don't need near the amount of solar panels that everybody thinks you got to have in order to run the same amount of power. But either way, you know, this is actually an environmentalist that is gone basically against renewable energy sources, and this is only one of many videos out there. So I don't know what these folks want. Maybe they want you just to shut off your AC and your light and go live in a mud hut, man. Yeah, take some cold showers whenever it rains, and you know, live the true hippie lifestyle and out in the you know, sit there and do your little yoga thing, you know. Alright, here we go.
In other words, all of the major problems with renewables aren't technical, they're natural. Well, dealing with all of this unreliability and the big environmental impacts obviously comes at a pretty high economic cost. You know, we've been hearing a lot about how solar panels and wind turbines have come down in cost in recent years, but that cost has been significantly outweighed by just the challenges of integrating all of that unreliable power onto the grid. Just take, for instance, what's happened in California. At the period in which solar panels have come down in price very significantly, same with wind, we've seen our electricity prices go up 5 times more than the rest of the country. And it's not unique to us. You can see the same phenomenon happened in...
So listen to this right here. He's talking about the energy prices going up because of renewables. See, I thought the whole concept was California wanted everyone's house to be zero point by a certain period of time, which means that their house is completely self-contained as far as whatever energy they actually use. They got their own solar and wind or other alternative energies going on, and so that you're not actually tapped into the power grid. So if you got a solar panel deal and you're tapped into the power grid, you got other jive turkeys out there running their appliances off of your solar panel power too. So if you want to be totally self-contained, you get completely off the doggone grid. You let nature provide the energy that you want to run your house and so on. But these folks out there, I swear, the lack of common sense is just mind-blowing. I can't understand why it is that, on one hand, they want one thing, and then on the other hand, they're preaching against the same thing that they said they wanted. So, here we go.
Germany, which is really the world's leader in solar, wind, and other renewable technologies, their prices increased 50% during their big renewable energy push. Now, you might think, well, dealing with climate change is just going to require that we all pay more for energy. That's what I used to think. But consider the case of France. France actually gets twice as much of its electricity from clean, zero-emission sources than does Germany. And yet, France pays half as much, almost half as much, for its electricity. How can that be? Well, you might have already anticipated the answer. France gets most of its electricity from nuclear power, about 75% in total. And nuclear just ends up being a lot more reliable, generating power 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for about 90% of the year. We see this phenomenon show up at a global level. So, for example, there's been a natural experiment over the last 40 years, even more than that, in terms of the deployment of nuclear and the deployment of solar. You can see that at a little bit higher cost, we got about half as much electricity from solar and wind than we did from nuclear. Well, what does all this mean for going forward? I think one of the most significant findings to date is this one. Had Germany spent $580 billion on nuclear instead of renewables, it would already be getting 100% of its electricity from clean energy sources and all of its transportation energy. Now, I think you might be wondering, and it's quite reasonable to ask, is nuclear power safe? And what do you do with the waste? Well, those are very reasonable questions. Turns out that there's been scientific studies on this going over 40 years. This is just the most recent study that was done by the prestigious British medical journal Lancet, finds that nuclear power is the safest. It's easy to understand why. According to the World Health Organization, about 7 million people die annually from air pollution, and nuclear plants don't emit that. As a result, the climate scientist James Hansen looked at it, and he calculated that nuclear power has already saved almost 2 million lives to date. Turns out that even wind energy is more deadly than nuclear.
So now, this particular environmentalist is, sounding more like a nuclear power advocate and, talking about how many people died from this and that or whatever. But, there's a time when the environmentalists were like all freaking out over nuclear, how dangerous it was. And if you if you understand what was going on, you wouldn't even have what you would call nuclear waste. The nuclear power, when they only shut them down once every couple years, but if they if the control rods and the radioactive rods that they use, the nuclear fuel, if that starts to not boil the water fast enough to keep up with the steam demand necessary, well, then that's called, spent fuel. So they're only using a small, tiny percentage of the radiation off of that doggone nuclear fuel before it's classified as waste. And so then they'll take and put it in a cooling pond for another 10 years before they can let it deplete enough to be able to store again. But either way, it still has energy even after it got stored. So why is all that energy being wasted? Why is it all being buried? If you understood how actual nuclear energy works, then you have to understand that there should not be any nuclear waste whatsoever. You can store heat energy. And the amount of water that you can boil with a certain amount of nuclear rods is going to differ than when those things start to get kind of depleted down. You could take that energy that would have been what they call depleted, and you could put it into a smaller system that would produce steam pressure that could then in turn basically go back around and add to the system to supplement the main system. So all the way through that entire process, you could use the brand new fuel, the three-quarter fuel, the half fuel, the quarter fuel, all the way down until you're just recycling all of those radioactive rods until they're completely diluted, depleted or whatever. So the nuclear industry already knows that they could, if they wanted to, build secondary systems that you wouldn't be wasting that energy. When you put those radioactive rods, they're in massive cooling pools, all right? Because that water will take and cut that energy down, allow it to, you know, the water will get warm, it just won't get hot enough to boil. Then after a certain point, when the temperature comes down, all those rods in that pool are safe to dispose in a different manner, such as putting them into a sealed container and burying them under the ground. But yet, even in that sealed container, they're not generating enough power to pressurize that container, because you're not turning that water into steam, you're not over pressurizing that container so they can remain sealed unless the actual container itself rusts out and the water leaks out of it. But then you just have a hot mess inside a can. It's not nowhere near what people would like to proclaim as being a bad thing. But either way, it's surprising to hear an environmentalist that is, you know, really hip on nuclear power. So let's move. Let's keep moving here.
This is a photograph taken of two maintenance workers in the Netherlands shortly before one of them fell to his death to avoid the fire, and the other one was engulfed in flames. Now, what about environment?
Okay, so what he just said was that the wind power is killing people. It's like, because not only is it karate chopping the buzzard and the eagle and other birds out of the air, I mean by the thousands if you listen to them, but people are falling off of it whenever they fail and they catch on fire, you know. So you only got fires on wind turbines. So you could go out there and watch. There's actual fires. These things will sometimes catch on fire when they mechanically fail. And it starts a wire fire up in there and burns it all up. Well, if you're up on top of that while that happens, you know, and you ain't got a parachute to leap off of it, then you might be in a jam and decide to jump instead. So, you know, he's talking about people dying, falling off of these things. Well, I think that you might want to be a little bit more cautious when working on them. And it's unfortunate. We don't want anybody to die. But either way, you know, the way that it's just being explained is that everything, all the renewables that we thought were so cool, like solar and wind, aren't cool because people are dying from, you know, either working on them or getting karate chopped by them. Not to mention the fact that he mentioned earlier about birds catching on fire, bursting into flames in midair and plunging to their doom, you know, because of that. I'm just like, I've never, ever, ever heard a bird catching on fire above a solar farm. That's pretty doggone wild, man. That's like, yeah, okay. Let's keep going.
Environmental impact. Well, I think a really easy way to think about it is that uranium fuel, which is what we use to power nuclear plants, is just really energy dense. About the same amount of uranium as this Rubik's Cube can power all of the energy that you need in your entire life. As a consequence, you just don't need that much land in order to produce a significant amount of electricity. Here you can compare the solar farm I just described, Ivanpah, to California's last nuclear plant, Diablo Canyon. It takes 450 times more land to generate the same amount of electricity as it does from nuclear. You would need 17 more solar farms like Ivanpah in order to generate the same output as Diablo Canyon, and of course it would then be unreliable. Well, what about the mining and the waste and the material throughput? Well, this has been studied pretty closely as well, and it just turns out that solar panels require 17 times more materials than nuclear plants do, in the form of cement, glass, concrete, steel, and that includes all the fuel used for those nuclear plants. The consequence is that what comes out at the end, since it's material throughput, is just not a lot of waste from nuclear. All of the waste from the Swiss nuclear program fits into this room. Nuclear waste is actually the only waste from electricity production that's safely contained and internalized. Every other way of making electricity emits the waste into the natural environment, either as pollution or as material waste. We tend to think of solar panels as clean, but the truth is that there is no plan to deal with solar panels at the end of their 20 or 25 year life. A lot of experts are actually very concerned that solar panels are just going to be shipped to poor countries in Africa or Asia with the rest of our electronic waste stream to be disassembled often exposing people to really high levels of toxic elements, including lead, cadmium, and chromium, elements that, because they're elements, their toxicity never declines over time. I think we have an intuitive sense that nuclear is a really powerful, strong energy source, and that sunlight is really dilute and diffuse and weak, which is why you have to spread solar collectors or wind collectors over such a large amount of land. Maybe that's why nobody was surprised when, in the recent science fiction remake of Blade Runner, the film opens in a very dark dystopian scene where California's deserts have been entirely paved with solar farms. All of which I think raises a really uncomfortable question. In the effort to try to save the climate, are we destroying the environment? Well, the interesting thing is that over the last several hundred years, human beings have actually been trying to move away from what you would consider matter-dense fuels towards energy-dense ones. And that means really from wood and dung towards coal, oil, natural gas, uranium. This is a phenomenon that's been going on for a long time. Poor countries around the world are in the process still of moving away from wood and dung as their primary energies. And for the most part, this is a positive thing.
Oh my gosh. Look, this is really this is really nutty, because if you understood how an internal combustion engine worked, or you know, any of these you know, plants that are burning, there's plants out there right now that are burning trash in order to generate electricity. But if you understand the physics of what's going on and the chemistry of what's going on, you can build these plants to not have any so-called carbon emissions out the other end. Now, there's ways to actually reburn the exhaust and use the exhaust for fuel. So it's in that sense, even fossil fuel is renewable, because you can continue to reburn that until all the carbon's out of the doggone thing. You know, and as long as you have oxygen and hydrogen in the mix, then you're never going to run out of energy. But these folks, I swear, they must not have paid attention in basic science class. They basically must not have paid attention in physics or mechanics or anything like that. It's not that the auto industry doesn't have the capability of building engines that are incredibly energy efficient. It's that the fuel industry, which is part of the auto industry, is also wanting to make some money too. So if you make an engine that'll run for hundreds, if not thousands of miles on a small amount of fuel, well, then that means the fuel prices are going to go way down, because you're going to have overabundant surplus of fuel. And if you understand how gasification systems work and stuff like that, you could design smaller systems that would actually take trash, turn it into the equivalence of Mr. Fusion, like on Back to the Future, and you could turn your doggone trash into a trip down to the, you know, the coast or something like that. You know? And so I don't understand why these folks do what they do. They, when you sit here talking about mad science and I talk about all these different solutions and things, you can't get these folks to come over here and listen to none of this. You know, listen to all this right here. This is supposedly an environmentalist, and he's talking about all different negativities about every single renewable. And the guy before, he was like a really a joke, man, because that dude, this is non-renewable and this is renewable. Non-renewable, renewable. Every doggone thing out there is renewable. And even the old wore-out solar panels. I got some solar panels down there that would have otherwise been in the garbage that are still producing electricity. Maybe they're not up to their 100%, which would have been, you know, straight out of the factory. But even after they were all cracked up and rolled up like carpet, they're still producing electricity. And so even the so-called used ones are still working. And if these folks don't understand this, and they're just never going to get it. I'm serious. They're just never, ever going to get it. You know, If you use that energy in a different fashion, we can take transistors and MOSFETs and coils of wire, and we can make inverters and all kinds of different circuitry. We can pulse these things. We can ramp the voltage up. We can move that voltage rapidly into storage banks. And you don't even need near the amount of power that you think you do to get the on-time energy that you want to use. If industries would stop making things to be energy hogs to begin with, then you wouldn't need near the amount of power. But if you understood the physics of what was actually going on whenever you turn your lights on, why things get hot, and so on, then you could see there's a different way to use electricity, and this is what I've been working on for quite some time. It ain't that we don't have free energy, it's just that we don't understand how to use it properly. And if you get that, if you finally realize that you've got more power than you actually need in order to run anything, all you have to do is take this energy and use it differently than you did before. And you can still get the same work done that you wanted. You know, when you're having a generator that's fighting it, the doggone same engine that is running the generator head, then when they're fighting, when they're opposing each other, there's a reason why it's doing that. You resolve that reason why it's doing that, and that generating system will run efficiently. Now, they seem to do just fine boiling water into steam and then turn around and turn that into energy, because steam pressure is amazing. Why do you think the nuclear power is still steam-powered? The coal-fired power plant still steam-powered? Hydroelectrics is using water pressure to turn these doggone turbines. So one thing that is a common denominator on all the ones that we're using to generate energy is what? It's water. Water is amazing. It's an amazing material. It's amazing fuel. It's indestructible. But yet, if you would listen to these folks here, you know, it just drives me freaking bonkers. No wonder. This is why I call it mad science. Let's keep rolling.
As you stop using wood as your major source of fuel, it allows the forests to grow back and the wildlife to return. As you stop burning wood in your home, you no longer need to breathe.
All right, look, burning firewood. I'm going to tell you something. I live on 16 acres of land, and I got trees growing after trees growing after trees growing after trees. Nature comes by and blows a tree over, and I have to get rid of that tree, otherwise it'll clutter up the place. And whenever ice storms come through and rip tree limbs off and so on down the line, you can get enough fallen wood to last you the entire winter season off of this property for many people. And so you don't even have to go out and chop down the good trees. You could just wait for one to die naturally and use that wood right there. There's enough resources out there. Look, if you go out there and you look after every single ice storm in every single city, in every single country, everywhere, all over the world, people are trying to get rid of down tree limbs. They're trying to get rid of grass clippings. They're trying to get rid of manure. They're trying to get rid of all kinds of things. All of it is fuel. Every last bit of it is fuel. And if you do some real serious research, you might actually find out what dirt really is. Alright, what is dirt? Think about it. How does dirt even get there? Where did dirt come from? You know, if you go look at the bottom of a pond, what is in the bottom of a pond? You know, they got this stuff that they call muck, pond scum. Alright, what is that stuff down there? What is that? What is all that crud that usually takes a really good deep pond and fills it in? They call it silt. What is that stuff? Alright? It's fallen tree limbs. It's fallen leaves. It's grass clippings. It's other bugs. It's birds or whatever. You know, the bird gets karate chopped out of the sky by your doggone wind turbine that you're using to aerate your pond or whatever. And it lands in the water and it decays and rots. And what the turtle don't eat, the rest sinks to the bottom. And it turns into the dirt. It turns into the silt. It's all biodegraded. It's broke down. It's ridiculous to listen to this renewable ridiculousness. Because people don't even understand the mechanics of what the earth has been doing for thousands of years. It's, everything is renewable. There is no such thing as non-renewable. There is no such thing as fossil fuel. But these people, I don't know, you know, I know the education system's jacked up. But and there's probably a lot of lead paint and you know, fluoride in the water, that and maybe some mercury going on there that, you know, is actually causing people some brain issues and stuff, you know. But we're moving into a realm of the movie Idiocracy, and it's getting mind blowing. It's like being in the Twilight Zone. One of these days, they will be trying to water the crops with Gatorade, man. You know? And then when the guy comes by and says, well, no, just use the toilet water. And people's going to look at him all crazy, just like in the movie. But when they did what he said, it worked, and the plant started to grow again. We're going to quite literally, I believe, in our lifetime, live the movie Idiocracy. We're going to see it. I mean, people have got, used to listening to the TV and reading it on the internet, and if they heard it on the internet, it must be true. So, you know, they're all panicking. Doomsday's right around the corner. The world's out to get you. Climate change is going to kill us all in 12 years, and all this craziness. And you sit here and you year after year try to talk to people about the truth about energy, and what do you get in return? You get mocked and ridiculed and called names by the same people who say we're in doom. We're on our way to doom. Global warming, climate change, climate disruption, or whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up. The science ain't there, but they still say that 90% of all scientists say. No, 90% of all scientists don't say. 90% of the idiots who want you to believe that climate change is a real issue, and they want you to pay money to fix the environment, but you never see it done. If they were really seriously true about what they're saying, then they would be on the bandwagon of checking out all of these different alternative energy researchers out here that are showing the world how to quite literally get free energy, while at the same time having to go up against the idiots who are out there faking free energy devices so that they can get clickbait and ad farms put on YouTube. And YouTube supports that. Google supports that. Your government supports that. You support that. The trolls support that. The paid agitators support that. If we ain't got free energy by now, it's because ain't nobody listening. Ain't nobody listening to common sense. This is an environmentalist saying all this craziness, a bird catching on fire because of the solar panels. Really? And the other idiots after talking about how the solar panels are going to drain the sun dry? My gosh, people. When is this world going to actually get some common sense? They obviously ain't getting it here because they ain't showing up. I threw down a gauntlet. I said, hey, bring them all here. Bring the environmentalists here. Bring the so-called people who care about the environment. Bring them all here. Bring all the people who want clean, renewable, alternative energy. Let's talk about this. Let's get it done. It's doable. It's all right. Well, you got every single answer to every single question necessary to resolve every single problem on this so-called planet, and you can't get nobody to listen. It's ridiculousness. It's renewable ridiculousness. It's a form of renewable ignorance that is just biblical. We're moving to the movie Idiocracy. We're going to see it in our lifetime. We're going to see Idiocracy in our lifetime. Wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence, all because somebody wants to fight over what they call fossil fuel, something that is a completely renewable source of energy that will never, ever, 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 ever in a trillion, trillion, quadrillion lifetimes ever run out. It's not physically possible until the Earth stops doing what it's been doing. Heat, pressure, water, chemistry, all this different stuff right there is constantly rejuvenating everything. It's all being recycled. Nature recycles everything. And these foolish people right here, I just swear, oh man, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing how stupid so-called educated people are. You know, hey, I get it. Save the planet. Save the wildlife. We can save the wildlife. We can have our cake and eat it too. We can have our solar panel and the doggone birds won't be catching on fire and the doggone turtles will still have shelter from the elements. Man, let's keep rolling. And they put this in the desert too. The poor scorpion now has shade. That's sad, that poor scorpion. He's looking for shade. He's probably tired of catching on fire in there, out there in this direct sunlight. Who knows?
That toxic smoke. And as you go from coal to natural gas and uranium as your main sources of energy, it holds out the possibility of basically eliminating air pollution altogether. There's just this problem with nuclear. While it's been pretty popular to move from dirtier to cleaner energy sources, from energy diffuse to energy dense sources, nuclear is just really unpopular for a bunch of historical reasons. And as a consequence, in the past, I and I think a lot of others have sort of said, well, in order to deal with climate change, we're just going to need all the different kinds of clean energy that we have. The problem is that just turns out not to be true. You remember I discussed France a little bit ago. France gets most of its electricity from nuclear. If France were to try to significantly scale up solar and wind, it would also have to significantly reduce how much electricity it gets from nuclear. That's because in order to handle the huge variability of solar and wind on the grid, they would need to burn more natural gas. Think of it this way, it's just really hard to ramp up and down a nuclear plant, whereas I think we're all pretty familiar with turning the natural gas up and down on our stove. A similar process works in managing the grid. Of course, it goes without saying that oil and gas companies understand this pretty well, which is why we've seen them invest millions of dollars in recent years in promoting solar and wind. This just raises, I think, another challenging question, which is that in places that are using a lot of nuclear or have grids that are mostly nuclear and hydro, going towards solar and wind and other renewables would actually increase carbon emissions. I think a better alternative is just to tell the truth, and that's what a number of scientists have been doing. I mentioned earlier that hundreds of thousands of birds are killed every year by wind turbines. What I didn't mention is that a million bats at a minimum are killed every year by wind. The consequence has been that bat scientists have been speaking out about this. This particular bat species, the hoary bat, which is a migratory bat species, is literally at risk of going extinct right now because of the significant expansion of wind. It's not just wind, it's also on solar. The scientists who were involved in creating the Ivanpah Solar Farm, who were involved in clearing that land, have been speaking out. One of them wrote, "Everybody knows that translocation of desert tortoises doesn't work. When you're walking in front of a bulldozer crying and moving animals and cacti out of the way, it's hard to think that the project is a good idea." And now we can see these phenomena at work at an international level. In my home state of California, we've been stuffing a lot of natural gas into the side of a mountain in order to handle all that intermittent solar and wind. It sprung a leak. It was equivalent to putting 500,000 cars on the road. And currently in Germany, there's protesters trying to block a new coal mining project that would involve destroying the ancient Hombach Forest in order to get to the coal underneath, all in an effort to phase out nuclear and expand solar and wind. The good news is that I think that people still care about nature enough for these facts to matter. We saw last year in South Korea, a citizens' jury deliberated for several months weighing these different issues. They had to decide whether they were going to phase out of nuclear or keep it and expand it. They started out 40% in favor of expanding nuclear, but after several months and considering these issues, they ended up voting 60% to expand nuclear. A similar phenomenon just happened last week in Arizona. The voters had a ballot initiative to vote on whether or not to continue with nuclear or to phase it out and try to replace it with natural gas and solar. They ended up rejecting it 70-30. And even here in Europe, we saw the Netherlands is one of the first countries in recent memory to actually announce, as they did last week, that they're going to start to increase their reliance on nuclear power in recognition that there's just no way they could generate significant amounts of energy enough from solar and wind to meet their climate targets. I think it's natural that those of us that became very concerned about climate change, such a big environmental issue, would gravitate towards really romantic solutions like harmonizing human civilization with the natural world using renewable energies. But I think it's also understandable that as the facts have come in, that many of us have started to question our prior beliefs and change our minds. For me, the question now is, now that we know that renewables can't save the planet, are we going to keep letting them destroy it? Thank you very much.
All right, renewables can't save the planet, so we're going to keep letting them destroy it. Folks, if you're listening in, you got any common sense whatsoever? You gotta feel like I do. we're living in the movie Idiocracy, man. Quite literally, we're actually witnessing this deal. You know, there's all this talk about climate change, all this talk about how we need clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. And no talk about efficiency, no talk about all the different techniques for, hydrogen technology that's already been, proven ad nauseum. And people are still complaining. How long are you going to complain about something? Literally. It's literally mind-blowing. Let me see this here.
So apparently there seems to be a lot of misinformation about renewable energy. Now, a great example of this comes from a recent U.S. town in North Carolina that rejected a new solar farm because of some ridiculous reasons. Now, let me go to members of the Woodland, North Carolina, the town of Woodland, now North Carolina. Now, according to an article coming out of there, done by the Independent, they said that a town had rejected a proposal following some public concerns. Now, the original plan was to allow a company called Strata Solar to build a solar farm off a nearby highway, off Highway 258. Now, during this town council meeting, a local man named Bobby Mann said solar farms, and get this, solar farms would suck up all the energy from the sun, and businesses would not come to Woodland, apparently because they would have no sun left. This is not the worst. Jane Mann, who, by the way, is a retired science teacher, said that she was concerned that the panels would prevent plants in the area from photosynthesizing, stopping them from growing.
All right, now I'm not going to play much more of that because that particular video, he finally gets in there doing a little bit of foul-mouthing, which I don't like on here. But either way, that's just one little example of some of the lack of, I'd like to say education or, common sense or, communication or whatever, that people just obviously did not pay attention in science class. If you think that this doggone solar panels are going to suck all the energy out of the sun, and it's going to stop plants from growing, and you've obviously never had a solar panel array where you constantly got to go around this thing and trim out the weeds, otherwise the weeds keep growing up around it, and they'll block a doggone sun out from the doggone thing, man. If you ain't constantly clearing out around it, you'll have weeds growing all over the thing. You'll have vines and everything. Nature's not going to bow down to your solar panel. And as far as all the doggone bats getting karate chopped out of the sky and the birds in the last ridiculousness, I mean, how many millions of bats are laying underneath all these things? So somebody's got to go out there and look firsthand to get the firsthand deal. Somebody got to show me a video or some sort of evidence, the body count of birds and bats laying underneath wind turbines, because I've never seen it. Not once. Now, the chances of a bird flying right straight into a windmill like that, I mean, why weren't you hearing about this years ago when the farmers were using windmills to pump the water out of the wells and to run little generators to keep some lights going on in their house? And those types of windmills look like they were more dangerous than the modern type, with lesser blades now for, you know, better aerodynamics or whatever. But those old style ones, you know, they look like almost like looking down the blender. So maybe some birds might have got chopped up because they flew right straight to the doggone thing, but you never heard about that. And so I don't know where they're getting all this. So somebody go out there and find some videos of a bird getting karate chopped out of the sky by one of these things. And even at that, you know, you don't need near as many of these things as you think you do in order to get the same amount of energy. The solar panel's the same doggone thing. But you're still not gonna overcome nature. Let nature do what nature does, and you'll find out that even that doggone wind turbine will have vines growing all up it. Plants will climb to sunlight. They need sunlight. So they will actually guide themselves to sunlight. They'll go right around that solar panel. They'll wrap that solar panel up like a nifty little Christmas package or something. They're not playing around. Nature's in charge. Mankind is not. But mankind, for some ridiculous reason, believes that mankind is powerful enough to overcome nature. Now we sit here and boo-hoo when nature tears our houses down, and we don't seem to understand that maybe it ain't because nature's tore our houses down. It's that we don't have the construction skills to build houses with geometrical shapes that will allow the wind to just wrap right on around it. That'll allow the rain to run off smoothly, you know? And so you got this big old wooden house basically made out of sticks, and the big bad wolf comes along and blows it down, and the three little pigs are freaking out. Except for the one that he built his house out of bricks, and the wind came by and it blew and nothing happened. Only did maybe get a big old powerful wind throw something through the window. But outside of that, you can even make bulletproof glass. So not even the doggone tornado's gonna throw stuff through that, you know. I just don't get it. We're here in the year 2019, getting ready to go into the year 2020, and we still haven't got our act together. You live in a flood zone in a house that was prone to sink. Well, then your house is more than likely going to sink. But you live in a flood zone where your house is on pontoons and stilts, and so whenever the water comes in, your house raises up. You still have your house, you still have your garage and your car. And you might have to take a boat into, land in order to be able to get to work on time. But either way, there's people who live right next to the river in flood zones, known flood zones, that, you know, are doing just fine. There's people who live in swamps You know, with all the snakes and alligators and spiders and all that kind of jazz. And they're doing just fine. Necessity is the mother of invention. If you think that you have, a problem, then you use all the physics and science to resolve that problem. So now you got rain, wind, and flood-proof homes, even fireproof homes. Heck, Barry's talking about a material that's made with hempcrete, and it's fireproof, you know? So, you don't have to worry about your house burning down. There's all kinds of materials out there that are natural that, resist the forces of nature. But, you know, hey, you don't hear people talking about it. So, I want to play another one that has to do with nuclear power. Video unavailable. Watch this video on YouTube. Ah! That figures. Try it again. Same exact thing. I swear, they're making it harder and harder to do anything.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to Test Tube Plus today. I'm Trace, and I'm here with my good friend Julian Huguet, also from DNews. He is a big fan of renewable energy. He literally has it on his t-shirt. If you haven't tuned in to Test 2 Plus before, this is episode 2 of 5 on alternative energy sources, so make sure you check out the first episode. But is there a best alternative energy, Julian?
In my opinion, my personal favesies is nuclear power.
Ugh, nuclear power.
Nuclear power is so cool.
It's just a good source of energy.
It's so amazing and much maligned, and so I am here today because I want to defend nuclear power and maybe change a few minds about all the amazing things it has to offer.
Okay, and since I also like nuclear power, I will devil's advocate your defense of nuclear power. So, when it comes to nuclear power, I think we should break down a little bit about what that is. So, it's better than coal and gas. I mean, I guess.
Sure.
You're still pulling the fuel out of the ground, right? And it's, of course, radioactive.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the problem with coal and natural gas is they produce air pollutants. Primarily the one we always talk about, carbon dioxide, greenhouse gases affecting the entire planet, so that's bad. And then there's also other air pollutants. In fact, I found a 2013 MIT study that said annually in the United States, 52,000 premature deaths can be attributed to air pollution from electrical generation.
Right.
How many people have died from nuclear power production in the United States?
I mean, probably a lot, right? If it's radioactive, there have been problems in the past, and of course I'm concerned about all of those problems, because I am defending nuclear power's horribleness.
Do you consider zero a lot? Because zero deaths have been attributed to commercial nuclear power production in the United States.
Wow.
So civilian nuclear power is actually, comparatively, a lot safer than coal and natural gas.
Zero is a lot less than I would have guessed.
It's 52,000 less than 52,000 annually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's annually, not just total. 52,000 people annually have premature deaths attributed to air pollution. Zero all time from nuclear production. And nuclear is bigger in the States than you might think. About 19.5% of our power comes from nuclear power plants. There are 99 currently active in the States, running absolutely fine with no problems. The only time you hear about nuclear power is when something goes wrong.
That is absolutely true. And speaking of that, things do go wrong. We had Three Mile Island. We've had Chernobyl in the past, not in the United States, but still a big deal. Mm-hmm. We also had the Fukushima Daiichi disaster in Japan. All of these things are terrible.
Right.
And they produce radioactivity that then is spread out into the environment.
Correct. Fukushima Daiichi, might as well focus on that. That was the most recent. When that happened, a tsunami hit the nuclear power plant, and it destroyed the generators that were needed for the backup coolant system. Reactor overheats, hydrogen gas explosion blows its top, and it releases all this nuclear waste into the environment. However, for us over here in California, a lot of people were worried about nuclear radiation along the coast.
Right.
I live in Los Angeles. I have seen zero three-legged people over there.
I'm really bad at defending nuclear energy. But there's really nothing to worry about when it comes to the radiation from Fukushima Daiichi
here
in California.
Over here in the
States. It was terrible for the people surrounding Fukushima and the wildlife in the ocean outside of the plant. However, in anywhere else, it's fine. The levels are so low that it doesn't matter. But that being said, radiation, when people say the word radiation, it freaks people out.
Sure.
And they don't like the idea that nuclear power can have radioactive waste in terms of radiation from disasters,
right,
like Fukushima, but also from just radioactive waste in general.
What nobody mentions about the Fukushima Daiichi disaster, though, is there was another nuclear power plant fairly close by. Japan had tons of nuclear power plants. One of these newer ones was hit by pretty much the same earthquake, similar waves. It was more modern, though. Fukushima Daiichi was from late 60s, early 70s, and the design was more imperfect. The more modern nuclear power plant had no problem with the backup generators and backup coolant systems staying online. It didn't overheat, and you heard nothing about it because of that. You only heard about this old power plant, which was also mismanaged. An analogy I really like is a comparison to air travel, right? Airplanes fly millions of people all over the world.
It's the safest form of travel.
It is, technically, and very rarely anything goes wrong because the airplanes are maintained, there's strict regulations, and yet, when a crash happens, it's all you hear about, and people are always scared to fly. And I think nuclear has a very similar correlation. It's very safe. It's used much more widespread than people believe. And yet, as soon as something goes wrong, all people want to talk about is how nuclear power is unsafe.
Wow.
But with proper engineering and proper management, nuclear power can be a very safe option.
And that's the key. Very proper management, proper safety protocols. So, a little bit about nuclear power. Nuclear power uses small pellets of uranium fuel, usually that's the most popular, and then it takes those pellets and either smushes atoms together using what's called fusion or breaks them apart,
right,
which is called fission. Fusion is definitely safer, but we haven't figured it out yet.
Fusion, luckily, is constantly providing us with energy from the sun,
mm-hmm,
but you need a large, high temperature, very pressurized state to get these hydrogen atoms to react with each other, and you need something, you know, the size of a sun. So here on Earth, we haven't managed to keep fusion reactions sustainable. It takes more energy to get them going,
right,
than it does than they emit.
Real output.
So right now, our technology that we've been using is fission. Based. We take very heavy elements, we bombard them with neutrons, they split, and the reaction releases energy. We use that energy to heat water, turn it into steam, run it through a turbine, condense the water, do it all over again.
Right.
So you're not producing any greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide or methane, you're just producing steam. That's what's coming out of those big coolant towers that people like.
And is that radioactive?
No, it is not.
Huh.
The steam coming out of a nuclear power plant is from a separate loop than the water used to cool the reactor.
Got it.
So the steam that's driving the turbine is not radioactive.
Got it. So here's some data that I found on nuclear power. Each plant is generating about $16 million in state and local taxes. The U.S. nuclear industry generates around $470 million per year, and it generates a lot of power in the United States. I mean, it says here, in 1980, nuclear plants produced 250 billion kilowatt hours.
You can think of it in terms of percentage. For the United States, annually, nuclear power is 19.5% of our annual power production. Wind is 4.4% of our annual power production. And solar is 0.4% of our annual production. And the problem with these other renewable sources, like wind and solar, is they can't be scaled up to meet demand, mm-hmm, as it happens. Nuclear power plant, you can, you know, turn up the generator, produce more electricity when you need more. You can't make it sunnier. You can't make it windier. And mm-hmm, any energy that you don't use, the way our grid is set up right now, you lose. We don't have any way to store that and use it for later.
But, okay, it's not going to kill anybody around. It's not going to produce problems with the radioactivity leaving the plant as long as safety protocols. So, as somebody who's not a fan of nuclear energy in this discussion, what about nuclear waste? I mean, nuclear toxic waste is a huge problem. You have to take these pellets of used nuclear fuel and you have to store them forever. I mean, not literally forever, but longer than even our civilization might last, there's going to be this nuclear waste. And that just seems awful and scary for a lot of people.
That's probably the biggest buzzword is radiation and radioactive waste. And it's terrifying to think of how long these things are going to be radioactive and potentially dangerous. There's a myth that there is no safe level of radiation. You'll hear that trumpeted by a lot of people who are anti-nuclear. That's not true. because being alive, you are constantly subject to radiation. A banana is a teeny tiny itsy bitsy radioactive.
True.
Just a little bit.
Fiesta ware.
It is.
Responds to Geiger counters. The red one.
Mm-hmm.
I have
so
it at home.
There's constantly radiation. There is a safe level of radiation that you can be exposed to, but even still, this waste is above that. However, the amount that of nuclear waste that's produced is so minuscule. You get so much energy from uranium. The amount that you actually have to dispose of, if you were to take all that high-level radiation, radioactive waste, and put it together, you could fit it in a football field stacked 10 feet high.
That seems like not a lot of waste.
It's not a huge amount. You have to be very careful about where it's stored and watch it very carefully and make sure that, you know, it doesn't leak or break out. But I believe that humanity is up to the challenge. And don't fool yourself. Other renewable power sources aren't completely clean. Solar, everybody thinks, is this wonderful, totally clean energy source, but photovoltaic cells produce toxic wastewater. It's laced with cadmium, which is highly carcinogenic and seeps into groundwater if you're not careful about disposing of that too. So nuclear isn't the only one with issues about disposing its waste.
Right. On top of that, and I'm just going to drop this whole defending the other side thing, because I think we can all at this point kind of agree that maybe nuclear isn't the evil thing that we all thought. And I would like to mention that coal produces 1,562 million tons annually of waste. That's way more than nuclear energy.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about nuclear waste, a lot of people picture, you know, I guess the Simpsons, like yellow barrels stamped with nuclear and a big green grossness in it. But in reality, it's pieces of equipment that were used in nuclear plants. It's nuclear fissible material that has been spent, that some of that is also disposed of. But things like wrenches that were used to maintain things inside of the nuclear reactor close to the radioactive center eventually will have to be retired and then stored. So we're talking about pieces of equipment that are radioactive, but they're not so radioactive that they weren't used by humans in nuclear plants all the way up until their retirement.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has standards, guidelines on how much radiation human beings working in nuclear power plants can be exposed to, and they've done studies on their risks of cancer over that time, and the increased risk of cancer from nuclear power plant workers is negligible. The amount of radiation that these people are exposed to and working with is basically not affecting their risk of developing cancer at all. Just maybe a few more people per thousand. It's very, very minuscule. And yet you get this abundant energy that doesn't contribute to what I think is the biggest problem we have right now, climate change.
Right.
That's a global issue. That's something that's going to affect food for so many people that can't afford to take a hit in food supplies, and it's going to affect weather and storms, and more people are going to die of heat stroke,
and
all these other problems that are going to be manifest that you just don't have if you have nuclear power instead.
Right. And on top of that, people actually really like nuclear power. The people that don't like it are usually very vocal. But when surveyed, a 2012 study found 57% of citizens supported nuclear power. And in a 2013 study, 81% of citizens who lived near the power plants. So it was in their backyards, you know, to use that kind of term. They were also in favor of it. And, I mean, people love this power because it doesn't feel like you're hurting the earth quite as often as when you look over at a coal plant and you see it spewing into the air all the time.
Right.
You know, it's much easier to avoid a football field for 10,000 years than it is to not be able to breathe by the time we get there. So, either way, we are both a fan of nuclear. How do you feel about it? Tell us in the comments. Also, you can go find Julian on Twitter.
Yeah. That's enough of all that. They're opposed to nuclear, man. They're for nuclear. I don't know. It doesn't even matter anymore. I mean, it's a never-ending cycle, man, of ridiculousness, renewable ridiculousness. That's what it is. Renewable ignorance constantly. You know, if you understand what's going on with doggone nuclear power, coal-fired power plants, or even diesel-fired power plants, or hydroelectrics. If there's an issue and it ain't running clean, there's ways to scrub that before it ever even gets out. You can reburn the exhaust. If it's dirty exhaust, it means it still has fuel in it. Why do you think we have a catalytic converter on all our cars now? Because the car is only like 20-some-odd% efficient. And the rest of that, the majority of the fuel you put in your internal combustion engine goes out the tailpipe. So anyway, you know, that's what we're dealing with right there. I'm gonna go ahead and take a quick music break. I gotta check a few things out. I think there's a issue with the new player, and I gotta see if I can resolve that. Well, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to resolve it today, but either way, if you're listening in at People for People, you're probably hearing real time. If you're listening in over at Shaziz Radio, the Shoutcast player that I've used, apparently, they're catching the stream late, and so it takes a while to update, and you got to refresh your page if you're listening in and hearing a different show than what's on right now. I don't know what's going on with that, why they take so long to switch over when you're doing a live broadcast, but either way, I'm going to throw on a song here for a second and see what I'm getting here. So stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when them old boys raise their own shotgun, we say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Number for 911.
Hello, 911 operator. Shaziz here. What's your emergency?
That dog tried to kill me.
Wow, that sounds pretty bad. Could you hold, please?
911 emergency, operator Shaziz here. What's your emergency?
You release the dogs or the bees, or the dogs with bees in their mouth, and when they bark, they shoot bees at you?
Well, I'm not sure about all that, but we'll get right back to you. Could you hold, please? You've reached 911 operator Shaziz. What's your emergency? Well, that's some really good advice there. Could you hold, please? You've reached 911 emergency. The operator Shaziz here. What's your emergency?
I used to be a fat, disgusting slob.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. Could you hold, please? Hello, you've reached 911 emergency. Operator Shaziz here. What's your emergency? Seriously? That's nasty. Could you hold, please?
No! No!
911 emergency operator Shaziz here. What's your emergency?
No, operator, give me the number for 911.
Well, I think I can help you with that. It's 911. Could you hold, please? 911 emergency. This operator Shaziz here. What's your emergency?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Okay, could you hold, please? Thank you. 911 emergency, operator Shaziz here. What is your emergency?
For the next 5 minutes, I'm going to party like it's on sale for $19.99.
Okay, you do that. Could you hold, please? Thank you. Okay, operator Shaziz here. 911 emergency, what's your emergency?
Hey, hi. Can I arrest any of you people for anything?
Not that I'm aware of, officer, but you can have this job because I quit. I'm going to ShazizRadio.com.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop. He's got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop.
There it is.
He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus, sir? So, anyway, checked out the player. It will refresh. Sometimes you got to close the doggone browser and bring it back up, and it'll put the newest one on. So, I'll have to sort that out. But in the meantime, I think I'll actually try to put an extra backup player in place, later for just such an emergency that, you know, that occurs. But either way, if you're listening to Mad Science, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to www.shazizradio.com/superchat.html. And you have access to not one but four separate chat rooms. Plus, if you scroll down there and you click on the People for People radio link, you can go over there and join them. And their radio player is working real time. So if you have problems over here, just jump over there and hang out with those folks. It's wonderful people over there. So anyway, back to the ridiculousness there. Renewable ridiculousness. Renewable ignorance. I'm going to turn that AC unit off. See, you can hear it in the background. That's why I try to, like, only when I'm playing song or something like that. Duct tape and bailing wire, that's what we do here, man. So, let's, I want to play this one right here. I think I played this one here prior on a different show, but it's engineering challenges.
Engineering has given a lot to the world. It's transformed the nature of work, improved sanitation, and helped create vital infrastructure. The bad news is that to power the tools and processes behind those developments, we've relied on non-renewable fuels, the kind that get produced at a much slower rate than we use them. As the name implies, non-renewables won't be around forever.
Okay, so there's the non-renewable. Everybody knows I disagree with that one. There ain't no such thing as non-renewable. Everything's a renewable resource. You just got to understand what's happening. It's changing physics, it's changing chemistry, it's changing its molecular structure when you use it, and it actually goes back into the system in one form or another. You just change the chemistry is all you did. You add that ingredient back You know, you created a different ingredient from the ingredient that you started with. It adds back into the system. The system recycles it and puts it back into whatever it took to make whatever it was that you were burning to begin with.
Resources like oil and natural gas might be gone in just half a century, and using them has been, frankly, pretty terrible for the environment. 87% of the harmful carbon dioxide emitted by humans in the last 50 years has come from burning fuels such as coal, oil, and natural gas, known collectively as fossil fuels. It's been terrible for the atmosphere and oceans, and is changing our climate in dangerous ways. Whether we like it or not, we're going to have to find new ways to power our world.
You know, it's a crying shame when some folks who are really super educated get told bogus science, and then they turn around and, you know, they're well versed in what the book says and all that kind of stuff, but they never take the time to step out of the box and question, wait a second, what's going on here? Because this side of science says that this ain't right, and it's just not adding up. So when you start seeing that there's holes in the system, you know, like everything out there is theoretical. You theory of this and theory of that, and, you know, they still don't know what gravity is to this very day. You know, then, and most folks that's outside the box have a good idea what gravity really is, but, you know, you can't say what you think gravity really is if it doesn't match with what the school book says. They always refer back to the theory of this or the theory of that to explain why it is that you're wrong, when in fact that you might be 100% on the dime right, and it doesn't matter. As long as you're sticking to the script, you're all right. You get outside that script, you become a heretic. That's why alternative energy, free energy, and all this has such a hard time trying to convince the world that we already have the answers to the problem you say we have. The environmentalists ain't doing it. You know, they don't care. They want to get out there, talk about saving the turtles and saving the planet and all that kind of stuff. But whenever you try to tell them, look, hey, if you want to get this resolved, or you don't even have to go out there and build new solar panels, power plants and all that kind of stuff, there's technologies to make actual see-through solar panels that could be dual purpose, used for a greenhouse and producing electricity all at the same time. So we've got the technology. It's not like we couldn't do this right. You know, even talk about, you know, whenever the lifespan of the solar panel goes away, that it's not no longer, you know, putting out as much as it should, but it's still putting out some, but it's still not good enough. So, you know, you're going to throw it in the trash, and it's going to pollute the environment. Why not recycle every single bit of it, just like nature's going to recycle every bit of it? So let's keep moving on here.
Despite their terrible effects on the environment and limited supply, for now, non-renewables do a really good job of meeting our energy needs. In 2017, 80% of the power used in the United States was supplied using fossil fuels, and the need for energy doesn't appear to be shrinking anytime soon. Another 9% was delivered from nuclear fission, the process of splitting atoms, which releases far less CO2. Unfortunately, fission produces radioactive waste and also relies on non-renewable fuel sources, such as uranium and plutonium. All of these methods operate on broadly the same principle, essentially operating as a heat engine. A working fluid, often water, is heated by the fuel to expand and do work, turning the blades of a turbine. The turbine is connected to an electrical generator that converts the rotational motion of the blades into electrical power, which is then fed into the grid. So what about the remaining...
The turbine's going to karate chop the birds and the bats out of the sky, and people are going to fall off of them working them. So the death from the wind turbine industry, you know, is you know, a biblical proportions, man. That's what they say.
7% of power. That came from renewable energy sources, the kind that are generated about as fast as we use them. Some of the major renewable energy sources come from processes that are naturally occurring on Earth. Wind power, solar power, hydropower, which is based on flowing water, and geothermal power, which uses the heat of the Earth deep underground. None of these sources are things we'll run out of. We have a good few billion years left of sunlight, for example. And what's more, renewable energy tends to release fewer harmful byproducts, like carbon dioxide, into the environment. Take hydropower, for example.
And how do they know we got a good 2 billion years left of the sun? They say the sun's 1 billion years old, but there ain't no such thing as free energy, and perpetual motion's not possible. So how is it that it's been doing it that long? That's pretty doggone impressive. How long does something actually have to keep burning before it could be classified as perpetual motion? Where does the sun get its energy from? You see what I'm saying here? Maybe the sun is, sucking in hydrogen and oxygen, and then, you know, doing what it does, and then rejuvenating itself. Who knows? But let's see what else they got. And don't forget, you know, not only were the wind turbines karate chopping birds out of the sky, birds and bats, and people falling off of them to their death. But the last guy prior to that, anyway, he said that that the birds were catching on fire and falling out of the sky from the solar panels. And, you know, of course, that little town, they also said that doggone solar panels were going to suck all the energy out of that sun that's been around for billions of years. Anyway, let's keep rolling.
Which converts the kinetic energy from the motion of running water into electrical power. In a fast-flowing river, a run-of-river power plant diverts part of the river's flow, sometimes through a tunnel, to turn the turbines of a generator. That works well in some places, but the problem with this approach is that it's tricky to control the generation of energy to meet demand. You don't want to put lots of power into the grid when it won't get used, and you want to be able to ramp up the supply when the demand suddenly spikes. Like during the halftime break when the English football team, that's soccer to you Americans, played Colombia in the 2018 World Cup. A huge number of people in the UK opened their refrigerators to grab a drink or a snack, causing the compressors inside them to turn on. Then there were the people who had already had a bunch of drinks. All those people simultaneously flushing their toilets during the break created an increased demand for power on the local pumping stations that maintain pressure in the water system. The total increase in demand was measured...
Alright, so flushing your toilet and freaking getting into the refrigerator is putting an extra demand on the system. So don't get in the refrigerator, don't flush your toilet. That's what they're trying to tell you. Renewable ridiculousness gone wild. This is what I'm talking about, folks. It's been forever and a day. These folks, I tell you, they just don't get it. All right, well, why don't they, put a little magnet on the refrigerator door so every time you open your refrigerator door, you at least put something back as opposed to nothing? Why don't they put a water turbine down in the crapper, you know, so that when you flush it, it produces electricity? Well, I got a few ideas why they probably wouldn't want to do that, because it probably gets stopped up quite frequently. But nonetheless, you know, you open your refrigerator, you flush the toilet. All these people during the Super Bowl do this all at one time, produces a demand on the system, and causes problems. So there you go. That's some more of this renewable ridiculousness gone wild out there, and mad science unfortunately has to be the one to point it out. So let's keep on rolling here.
It's be 1,200 megawatts. That's an extra demand for power equivalent to several power plants. With fossil fuels, you can control the amount of fuel being burned, and therefore the amount of power being produced. Run-of-river power plants struggle with this because the amount of power they generate depends on the flow of the river, which in turn depends on things like the rainfall during the time period and even the temperature. Both things we can't control. To get around this, the more common form of hydropower is a hydroelectric dam. In this case, you can install a dam that floods an area and creates a huge reservoir of water. The water then falls through the generator's turbines at the bottom of the dam, which turn the water's kinetic energy into power. If you install an intake valve...
Okay, now there might be an issue here with these dams as well. We know that wind turbines will karate chop birds and bats out of the sky, and workers will fall to their doom when they're trying to work on them, and they're prone to, if they fail, have big fires at the top of them. They'll catch on fire and explode and all that kind of stuff, you know, throwing parts everywhere and that kind of jazz. Well, not only that, then the one guy in the one podcast said that birds were literally catching on fire and falling from the sky to their demise because of the solar panels. And so there's another issue right there. Now you got the water turbines that when you build the dam and the little fish just swims over, and then he goes, gets sucked down the pipe and mulched up in the doggone turbine, and then spit out the other side as chum. And so now you got all these fish blocking up the river down there, building a fish dam, and they're all suffocating because they're trying to eat the fish chum that just come through the other side, but they're all sucking up the oxygen out of the river there. So, you know, they go belly up and they float up, and you have a massive fish die off at the dam, all because the other fish done got chopped up and turned to chum through the electric dam down there. I'm just saying, man, if birds are catching on fire over solar farms and birds are getting karate chopped out of the sky over wind turbine farms and people are falling to their demise and these things are exploding and putting people's eye out on a regular basis, then we got to get as far away from renewable energies as we possibly can, man. You want all these people to get hurt and the fish to be turned to chum, and then the other fish at the bottom of the dam ain't got enough oxygen because all the fish congregated in there to try to get some doggone fish chum that just came out the hydroelectric dam? Think about it. What about those thermal electrics where they actually drill down and pump water down and heat the water up and the water comes back up? Now you're going to have crawdads crawling up out of there that's all boiled and everything. They're going to be freaking out, man. Come out there screaming, ah! You know, somebody turned the hot water on. All right? And that ridiculousness, whatever worms are around that pipe, they're not going to be able to live comfortably because the doggone worms are going to get hot. You know, they might dehydrate and look like freaking beef jerky, man. All dried out, nasty worms laying around everywhere because somebody had a hydro or a thermoelectric deal. Man, we can't have that. We can't have the solar panels sucking all the energy out of the sun. Then it'd be dark. Everybody'd be tripping over themselves because, you know, we got to get rid of flashlights too. Unless you got one of them little wind-up flashlights, but then again, you know, there's going to find a problem with that. That little wind-up flashlight, the arm could break off, and you could punch your brother in the nose while trying to charge it up or something. And then he gets all mad and starts punching you in the nose. Next thing you know, y'all fist fight, and yeah, you know, fist to cuffs. You go to jail or end up in the hooscow, the clink, the slammer, you know, the pokey. That's how dangerous all this renewable energy stuff is. All this talk of free energy and everything. Going to get people jailed. Going to get people dead, man. Going to pollute the environment. You know? Going to block out the sunlight, and the grass ain't going to grow up over the top of your solar panel like it normally does. Man. And you're just going to cut down all the trees and everybody ain't going to be able to breathe. That means you got to hold your breath for a portion of the day so you can let everybody else have some oxygen too. Shut your pie hole. Know your place and shut your face. That's what you got to do. Now I'm talking to all of y'all. You want to try to save the planet? You want to try to save the people? If somebody's got to go too, because we got like 7 billion people on the planet, man. We can't have all them people breathing out all that CO2. Feeding all the plants. They turn around and feed all them plants. Next thing you know, we'll all be living in the jungle. Be skeeters all over us and everything. Spiders and snakes and baboons running amok. Might be a dang spider monkey choking around your neck, you know. You know how ruthless those spider monkeys can get. Heck, they'll put your eye out, man. Ain't no joke. Think I'm trying to not be serious? Look, man, I'll tell you what. We're moving into the movie Idiocracy. We're seeing it real time. Right? You get karate chopped on the back of the neck by a spider monkey or a baboon or an orangutan or a macaque, you ain't going to think it's so funny. Better put that alternative energy stuff to bed. Put it to rest. Nip it in the bud. It's the first time you get karate chopped in the doggone back of the neck by an orangutan, you probably ain't gonna have a neck left, man. That's what you think it's a joke? You and your free energy, man. I tell you what, renewable ridiculousness. We ain't done yet. Let's keep rolling.
That opens or shuts to control the water flow through it, you can even manage the production of energy to meet the changing demands of the electrical grid. Unfortunately, flooding an area with water isn't consequence-free. Changing the environment so suddenly and preventing the natural flow of water downstream can have devastating consequences for the local ecology. There's also the risk of the dam breaking if it was built improperly. Despite those challenges, hydropower has been enormously helpful. In recent years, it's produced as much as 16%.
Oh yeah, there's another problem there. If the dam breaks, you know, then the little city that they built down at the base of the dam, which is probably one of the ludicrous versions of ridiculousness that you'd ever possibly think about, why you would intentionally build a house or a city or a town downstream from a giant dam that you built, or even the fact that you built the dam after the town was there. The potential implications of catastrophic failure that may or may not happen, you know, due to natural or man-made deals, eventually the town's going to get ripped off the face of the map there, because if the dam breaks, you know. So there's another issue that we got to concern ourselves. So you need to stop this sort of renewable energy thing, this alternative free energy thing, clean, renewable, and all that green energy. Ain't gonna be so green, except for the bankers and the doggone insurance companies and those who were buying up insurance, unless they call it an act of God. There's gonna be a lot of green changing hands if something fails. You know, build your house out of freaking twigs or a straw at the base of a ridiculous dam in the middle of Tornado Alley. Yeah, that'll work out real well. So we got a common sense problem is what we got.
Of the world's energy and up to 70% of all the world's renewable energy. The other renewable energy source that works in a similar way to hydropower is wind power, which also uses turbines. The main difference is that the fluid doing work on the wind turbines is air instead of water. One of the biggest engineering challenges here is designing the turbine blades to efficiently extract energy from that air. As we saw with fluid mechanics, predicting the flow of a fluid around an object can get seriously tricky. Blades have to be engineered to withstand the stress they're subjected to, while also allowing the wind to efficiently rotate them to power the generator. It's as complicated as designing an airplane wing. Once again...
And you need to make those wind turbine blades out of some really soft material that's not going to karate chop the bird in half on the way by. You know? Because it's got to be engineered to be aerodynamic and be the most efficient, and it's got to be able to not karate chop a bird in half. How many times have you seen two halves of a bird come flying in your direction because of some doggone wind turbine? And you think this is some sort of joke? Birds karate chopped in half by wind turbines, birds catching on fire and dropping out of the sky by solar panels, not to mention the sun's getting dimmer because the doggone solar panels are sucking up all the juice, and then the dang fish being sucked down the pipe and turned into chum, and bringing all them fish upstream to eat all that chum, now gonna suck all the oxygen out of the water, and they're going to go belly up, and we're going to have extinction level events of tuna and trout and all that kind of jazz. Man, you better get off of this renewable stuff and try to save the planet. Yeah, I'm saying, you ain't going to save the planet. People are falling off of doggone wind turbines on a regular basis, man. They're blowing up and throwing pieces everywhere and putting people's eye out, and they're making the doggone place look ugly too, man. So don't argue with the homeowners association. Just know your place, shut your face, paint your house chartreuse to match everybody else's chartreuse house, And don't put a commode outside for a flower pot.
Then you run into the problem of demand. You can't control the strength of the wind to increase or decrease power generation as you need it. Even if that were possible, you still have to transport it from the sparsely populated open plains where the wind blows more easily to dense urban centres with low amounts of wind but high demand for power. Transporting that power becomes even trickier over long distances because you lose some energy as the electricity travels through the wires. For that reason and others, engineering considerations often play a big role in deciding where wind farms, as a collection of turbines is known, should be built. So wind power has only generated 4% of the world's total power supply in recent years. Location also plays an important role in another renewable energy source, geothermal power. Like conventional power plants, geothermal power relies on steam as the working fluid on the turbines connected to the generator. But in this case, you don't need fuel to generate the steam. You can drill into underground deposits of hot volcanic rocks, normally near the Earth's tectonic plate boundaries, to use them as a heat source.
Yeah, but see, if you go drilling into the hot volcanic rock down there, you might put a volcano up underneath your shack, Jack. You want a volcano in your yard? Better not be drilling down into that hot magma. Tell you what, dang ridiculousness.
For a power plant. Then, all you need is to pump water to that location and create another channel for steam to rise through to do work on the turbines. The biggest problem comes with setting up a geothermal power plant in the first place. It can be expensive to drill and explore for underground conditions that are exactly right and is only really possible in certain parts of the world, like Iceland and Italy. But there's one source of renewable energy that's so abundant and easily accessible, you only have to step outside on a bright sunny day to see it. Solar energy. In fact, the amount of sunlight the Earth receives in just a single year is twice the total amount of energy that will ever be extracted from fossil fuels and the uranium used in nuclear fission combined. The challenge is finding efficient ways to harness that energy because turning sunlight into electricity isn't simple. The most promising technology we have is called the photovoltaic, or simply PV cell. Most people...
Yeah, but see, you know, once again, if you go back and listen to those prior podcasts out there, there are people out there who believe that doggone... solar panels going to suck all the doggone juice up out of there, plus there's all the toxic waste whenever people's solar panels don't work and they throw them off in the dump. So you're going to have frogs with three eyes, man, and your children are going to look funny, you know? So you got to watch out. You're going to have mutant children and frogs running around. So mutant children and frogs running around from... you know, toxic waste from, you know, solar panels and birds getting karate chopped in half from wind turbines and people falling off of stuff and birds catching on fire over solar panel places and stuff like that. Yeah, so, you know, here we go. There's all kinds of drawbacks when you're talking about renewable energy. And so that means the renewable ridiculousness is never going to run out. See, there is a pretty good example of, you know, perpetual motion. The renewable ridiculousness, the renewable ignorance, the renewable jacked up education system that keeps on pumping out people who actually believe and promote lies such as climate change and climate disruption or global warming. You know, they said back in the old days that if you used hairspray, you were depleting the hole in the you're causing a hole in the ozone layer. 99.9% of all the living individuals on this planet with somewhat of an education have no idea what ozone really is or how it's even created. You know, you got all that lightning superheating the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen in the air, and it produces ozone. High voltage produces ozone. But your measly little hairspray cans is going to get all those gases to float up there to deplete the ozone layer. What about maybe possibly shooting rockets up through it, you know, all the time? That might be an issue. Alright, well, whatever, you ain't going to deplete the ozone layer either, so don't listen to these morons when they start talking all this craziness about how you're doomed, man. Oh, you're doomed! Birds are catching on fire! People are falling off of wind turbines! Wind turbines are karate chopping pterodactyls in half! and they're falling down on cars and starting a chain reaction. Yeah, you got your crank type radio and the arm breaks off of it and you punch your brother in the nose and that starts a riot. That this perpetuates renewable ridiculousness. It's a real thing, and I coined that phrase, renewable ridiculousness. You heard it first from Shaziz. So if you hear renewable ridiculousness or even renewable ignorance, then you're gonna know where it came from. I'm gonna have to copyright that, man. Because when the planet goes to doom, I gotta say, you know, yep, that was that renewable ridiculousness. Nobody was paying attention. So let's keep rolling.
Know them by the name given to many cells arranged together. Solar panels. Unlike everything else we've looked at, there's no trace of a turbine here. Instead, as we saw when looking at semiconductors, solar panels use two different semiconducting pieces to set up an electrical field that biases the movement of free electrons inside the material in a particular direction. In short, the materials encourage an electrical current to flow when they receive energy, which then travels through the circuit delivering power to whatever's connected to the PV cell. That means solar panels can deliver power directly to the grid. Between that and the abundance of sunlight, it seems like there shouldn't be an energy shortage problem at all. But as we've seen for the other energy sources, costs, fluctuating demand, location.
Energy shortage? Man, there are people out there in different countries that got so much alternative energy going on that they're begging people. They're even offering people money in some places to use more energy. There ain't no doggone energy shortage. There ain't never been no energy shortage. The whole Arab oil crisis, we ain't got enough oil, that was a lie. And the whole entire deal of scarcity is a lie. You know, they keep talking about how these are non-renewable, that eventually they're going to run out by this year or that year. They've been saying that for so doggone long. There was actual oil wells that went dry at the time because they pumped them out, and then it came back years later and these doggone things were full of oil again. How'd that happen? Alright, well, it's the same process that was doing it back then and still doing it now. You ain't never going to run out of oil. You're never going to run out of water. You're not going to run out of trees. You're not going to run out of anything. You're not going to run out of food unless you just are practicing the religion of renewable ridiculousness and you don't pay attention in science class. If you don't understand hydroponics, aquaponics, if you don't understand different light spectrums and all this kind of jazz, then you won't know why it is the greenhouses pump the CO2 up in their greenhouse when nobody's in there. Because if they were in there when they did it, they would suffocate and die. You know? You got to have some oxygen in there. So people breathing in there ain't going to put enough in there to cause a problem, but pumping directly in there to feed the plants while you're gone, get better growth out of them. So either way, what they keep claiming is a problem isn't a problem. It never was a problem. That's the whole entire deal of the ridiculousness going on. So let's play some more of this crazy stuff.
And transmission all factor in here. For starters, solar cells aren't all that efficient. The very best solar cells can convert 40% of the energy they absorb into electrical power, but they're expensive to produce because of the...
And if they're only producing 40% of the power, then that means you're not using it properly and you got waste involved in there, such as thermal energy that the solar panel's getting hot. Maybe that's why the bird burst into flames flying over the solar panel farm, because all that heat was rising and there's just like thousands of degrees or whatever. How much heat has to be generated to set a bird feather on fire while he's flying by? So you got cooked birds and wild turkeys falling out of the sky. You got people rushing in to get all that fried chicken and pheasant and turkey. And when they're doing that, it's blocking out the doggone light from it. And heck, they're catching on fire too, man. That's what's going on. Think this is some sort of joke? Man, get away from them renewables. Stop talking about free energy.
The high quality of silicon needed in manufacturing, among other reasons. On average, industrial PV cells are about 17% efficient. Once you factor in the cost of making the cells and energy storage, solar power ends up being anywhere between 3 and 6 times as expensive to produce as that from fossil fuels. Increasing solar panels' efficiency would bring this down dramatically. Another big challenge with solar power is that, like with the hydroelectric dam, you need a way to store energy to control the production in line with power demand. You won't generate much solar power on a cloudy day, whereas you might have a surplus on sunny days, but you can't store sunlight directly. Instead, engineers are working on ways to temporarily store that extra solar power. These include solutions like batteries or even pumping water up a column to later give up its energy as hydropower during periods of high demand. Once again though, efficiency plays a big role in making both these methods a suitable form of energy storage. Despite the efficiency and storage problems, there is one major advantage to solar panels. They can be deployed pretty much anywhere. Rather than having to transmit power across long distances, solar panels can simply be installed on smaller scales, close to areas of demand, even on the roof of an individual home. But manufacturing the panels...
I just thought something. She just said, even on the roof of the individual home. Well, you heard that other guy talking about how solar panels were actually causing the doggone birds flying by to spontaneously combust and catch fire and fall to their doom. Their demise, you know. So you got all these solar panels on the doggone roof of your barn or your house, and the bird flies by, catches on fire, falls down and burns your house down. And then they'll turn around and the insurance company tell you it's an act of God, burn your house down from a flaming bird bursting into flames flying over the top of a doggone solar panel array. Man, you think this is some type of joke? You better get your act together. Man, tell you what.
...brings its own set of issues. One of the raw materials used to currently make solar panels is quartz, which has to be processed to produce the high-quality silicon needed for making PV cells. This itself is an energy-intensive process, which offsets some of the total energy production of solar panels across their lifetime of usage. Even worse, processing quartz can often produce toxic byproducts like tetrachloride, which can end up spilling into the environment and causing damage to soil. That all sounds a little bleak, but the most difficult challenges in engineering are often the most important ones. In fact, the National Academy of Engineering in the US has identified making solar energy more economical as one of the grand challenges that engineers in the 21st century need to solve. Future engineers have lots of ways to contribute towards making solar more feasible. Currently, researchers are looking at new storage systems such as using solar power to drive hydrogen fuel production, which can be burned later on with no carbon dioxide emissions. More on that next time. And
so, you know, they're talking about all these engineers. I wonder where all these engineers are, because they sure as heck don't know how to engineer anything efficiently, because they sure as heck haven't done it yet. Let's finish this one out. It's almost over.
Engineers are also introducing new materials into production of solar panels and improving the ways in which PV cells themselves are linked and arranged on the panels. There are even experimental methods being developed that use new structures on a molecular level called nanocrystals. These increase the amount of energy given to the electrons in the material when light is absorbed instead of losing the energy as heat. That could drive the efficiency high enough to make it economically competitive with current power sources and increase the adoption of solar worldwide. So there are lots of challenges ahead in bringing renewable energy sources to the forefront of electrical power production. But that's all the more space for future engineers to have an impact and create new solutions to the world's energy needs. In this episode, we looked at renewable energy sources and why we need them. We looked at how hydropower, wind, geothermal, and solar power are used to produce electricity, some of the challenges faced in doing so, and the areas engineers are working on to make their use more widespread. In our next episode, we'll see how engineers have moved beyond natural processes to invent entirely new ways of generating power. Crash Course Engineering is produced in association with PBS Digital Studios, which also produces Eons, a series that journeys through the history of life on Earth. With paleontology and natural history, Eons takes you from the dawn of life to the so-called age of dinosaurs and right up to the end of the most recent ice age. Crash Course is a Complexly production, and this episode was filmed in the Dr. Cheryl C. Kinney studio with the help of these wonderful people, and our amazing graphics team is Thought Cafe.
So, the doggone modern day science is just about pretty much the epitome of renewable ridiculousness, and you know, they got all these theories about what happened millions and billions of years ago, and, you know, we all were like some sort of chemical in some sort of primordial soup, and lightning struck a little pond, and then a little squiggly thing was born. It replicated and become a larger squiggly thing, and then become a fish, and then become a lizard, and then become a monkey, and then become a man, and then man destroyed the planet because man got too smart. Really? I think it's going to be quite opposite. I think the dumbing down of the world is what's going to kill the planet. The dumbing down, the renewable ridiculousness is what's going to kill the planet. The people didn't pay attention in science class. They didn't pay attention in biology. They didn't pay attention in physics or mechanics. They didn't pay attention at all. Because they're sitting there buying the lie. It's climate change, global warming, climate disruption, hole in the ozone layer. We're all doomed. The doggone solar panels are going to suck all the energy out of the sun. The doggone wind turbines are going to karate chop birds in half and kill bats and bees and bugs. And people are going to fall off of them to their demise. Birds catching on fire flying over solar panel arrays. Thermonuclear explosions because the doggone nuclear power plant. The crud going up in the airs. Acid rain and toxic this and toxic that. I think people got too much lead in their paint. I think they got too much fluoride in their water. I think they got too much chlorine. Too much of whatever that is inhibiting the natural processes of the brain. The brain cells are just melting away. We're moving towards the movie, and we're going to live it real time, the movie Idiocracy, and next thing you know, they will be trying to water the crops with Gatorade. Go watch it. That's your future, folks. I don't understand why it is that people are not literally paying attention. They say they want clean, renewable, alternative energies, when in fact there is no such thing as non-renewable. Nature recycles everything. There ain't nothing that you've ever used that nature did not recycle. It doesn't matter what it is. Even when you eat your food and it goes through the process, down the toilet, down into the septic tank or the sewage system, it gets out there, it gets recycled. Everything gets recycled. Nature has a process for every single thing under the sun. Once you understand what nature's been doing, and you replicate what nature's been doing, then you can actually generate the same amount of power that nature's been doing. I say you can't get out more to put in. But if what you put in, you use efficiently, you might be surprised at how much work you can get done for less input. This is why I do mad science. Because the people out there, the education system, the indoctrination system, the propaganda department of the governments of the world, and the misinformation of the industries of the world are basically making it almost impossible to get the truth about free energy onto the table. We've had hydrogen technology since way before the 70s, but in the 70s, Stan Myers was running around a dune buggy running on water because he understood the science and the physics. And they fought him and fought him and fought him over that. Didn't want to pay him for the idea unless he give it up altogether. But they didn't mind stealing it from him. Just like every other alternative energy researcher out there that put a working device in play, the system came and suppressed it. And so you'll get those apologists for the governments, for science, for NASA, which is part of the government. You'll get the apologists coming out there and saying, oh, well, what are they suppressing? They're not suppressing nothing. Oh, really? NASA made some pretty amazing claims. It's pretty amazing technology involved in the process of what they've done. Now, you got to keep spent radioactive material in a cooling pond. Otherwise, it'll get too hot and it'll melt itself. And actually, at one point, they're saying that Fukushima's reactor was going to quite literally melt its way through the center of the Earth, and then a volcano, a radioactive volcano, would pop up right there where Fukushima was at. Well, I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it. If they did have a meltdown and there was no water involved in the meltdown, it was totally bone dry, it's not going to like explode like you would think. It would just keep on getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and it would start melting even the concrete that it's setting on. And inside that concrete is sand, so it would actually start to melt the sand into glass. And it would keep on going until it got into more sand, melting that into glass. And it would continue to keep on going if the temperature kept on rising, until it kept on sinking, and eventually it would encase itself in glass and sometime either go down into a water table and cool itself off, or land onto bedrock and just stop. And it'd just be a really hot chunk of glass sitting down under the dirt. But unless there's any water involved, and that water can boil rapidly and build up steam pressure in a sealed container, there's no chance of a hydrogen explosion, throwing radioactive trash everywhere. So the ridiculousness that you've been hearing about all these nuclear power plants, you should have been able to know by now about Three Mile Island and Chernobyl and all that kind of stuff. They said you wouldn't be able to go in there for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It wouldn't be safe. Yet there's birds and wildlife living there, and a guy on TV went down there and went fishing. So what gives, man? It's just, if you really seriously paid attention in science class and you listen to the mainstream and the science communities and you listen to what they're saying, you can obviously tell that they didn't pay attention to the extent where they could actually think through the processes that they parroted. They were able to memorize and parrot other people's theoretical physics, everybody's theoretical science, and they could sit there like a mockingbird and say, "Polly, want a cracker," over and over, and tell you how stupid you are, because you can actually use critical thinking to work yourself mechanically through the system of what the problem is to come to a reasonable resolution and resolve the problem, to fix it. This is why mad science does what it does. And we're just tired of it. We're tired of the lies. We're tired of the ridiculousness. The trolls. Just to try to build a website such as what we got right here. You got to go up against the machine that is Google and YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all the social medias and the government itself. And even the citizens and people out there wanting something from you. They don't want you to do this, but they want to sell you that. They want to spy on you, but they don't want you to spy on them. This world has gone completely mad. That's right, Redempty. The machine is a monster. And thanks, Angeling. It's the whole thing. The whole entire thing is just so incredibly frustrating. If you go watch the movie Idiocracy, I couldn't imagine living in a world like that. But I can see us heading down that path. And so renewable ridiculousness is a term that nobody should ever forget. Hashtag it, pass it on, because we got more renewable ridiculousness than we can handle. Don't come out there and complain that you're killing the planet. And not want to sit down and listen to the truth or the science of how to fix it. If you perceive there is a problem and your perception is it needs to be resolved and somebody is offering you the solution and the science and the physics and the mechanics to back it up, then maybe you ought to pay attention. You stand out there with your wooden stick and your paper sign saying save the trees. While somebody's chopping one down. You think the industry is going to ever stop cutting trees? Then you ain't paid attention. You think you're ever going to see a day when the so-called fossil fuel ever runs out? Well, then you ain't paid attention. If you haven't paid attention to nature, but you did pay attention in school, and you're finding yourself in the dilemma of thinking the world is doomed, then maybe you need mad science. If you go on to the Super Chat room and you go up to the very tip top, you can find Steven's resource page, and he's got links to all kinds of alternative energy researchers. Go listen to what they got to say. And if you want to show everybody that you too can also have a degree, then attend the University of Mad Science. Go click on that button and pass the test and print out your diploma. Alright? And so I'm going to continue to do what it is that I do. I'm going to continue to put videos and podcasts out. And years down the line, when somebody actually finally takes the time to listen in on one of these podcasts and they hear what I said back here and they see what's going on back then or at that time, then I can say, if I'm still alive, that I told you so. You're going to see all these technologies come to pass that I've been talking about. You're going to see plasma reactors, nuclear fission, nuclear fusion, all these technologies that some of which are already here, some of which need a little bit of tweaking to be right, and all of these other alternative energies that could be incredibly improved by engineering them properly to not have waste. I mean, the Earth itself wastes absolutely nothing, so why should we? We can turn our trash into energy, and we can do it in such a environmentally friendly manner to which nobody has anything to complain about. One set of people was trying to say that the solar panels were causing everybody cancer. Just by living next to the solar panel array, you were going to get cancer. That's crazy. Wind turbines were giving people headaches. Wind turbines were karate chopping birds in half in the sky. They were catching on fire and people were falling to their death. It's air. Don't forget the hydroelectric sucking the fish down, turning the fish into chum when it goes through those turbines, and then that chum builds up at the bottom of the dam, and all the other fish rush in to eat the chum, and then they suffocate because there's not enough oxygen for a billion fish into one little base of the dam. So, give it up, man. Just give up the renewable energy. Give up the alternative energy. Give up the clean, green energy. Give up free energy because the system told you so. The system said everything was going to be terrible. And in 12 years, global warming's going to flood the earth and we're going to die and the polar bears are going to die. It's going to get hot. And somebody got to make up their mind. Either it's going to flood the earth or it's going to get so hot that we all die. It's going to cause all kinds of nasty weather and your house is going to blow over. Well, if you know you're going into a zone where the weather's going to get rowdy, maybe you ought to start re-engineering how you construct your homes and your vehicles and all that kind of stuff. That's the thing. If you're going to cut corners, you can build a house. You can build a mansion out of bamboo if you want. You can build a mud hut. You know? But nature's going to tear it down. The tsunamis and the flood water is going to wash your mud out of your house and your house is going to fall. You're going to be wearing a wigwam hat. You know? You think about the three little pigs. You better get ready because this is coming. If they have what they said is coming, it's coming. You better have a house out of bricks that'll float, man. Because your house, your straw house, it's gonna blow away. Big Bad Wolf got that one. Your stick house gonna blow away. Big Bad Wolf got that one. Your brick house isn't gonna blow away because the Big Bad Wolf ain't got enough lungs to blow that one over. However, your brick house is going to be under several hundred feet of water when all the ice caps melt and the polar bears will be standing on your rooftop. Of course, they'll be dead too because that's a lot of water. I'm just saying, y'all need to get your act together. We don't have time for the ridiculousness. We don't have time for renewable ridiculousness. At ludicrous and even biblical levels. Oh, man. If the world is messed up, why not just fix it? Why not just take all the tools and technology we got and we tell the people, you live in a flood zone, we're going to build you a house that is almost like a boat that's anchored in position so you can still have your property when the water goes down. And if the water never goes down and you live on the house for so many years, you'll be the captain of your own ship and you can make up your own rules and regulations. But the system will find a way to license everything. The system will find a way to tax it. And if your farms are going underwater, then build farms that float. Necessity is the mother of invention, man. Imagine that. You build a farm that you can still drive your tractors on. But yet, if anything goes awry, it'll float. So all your crops aren't sitting underneath thousands, if not millions, of gallons of water. Would it cost a little bit in investment? Yeah, sure it would. But maybe there's a chance you could actually use some of the recycled materials to actually get the task done for a fraction of the cost. Doesn't matter. But at some point in the game, if you ain't thinking ahead of time, if you're saying the world's doomed, then maybe you might want to look into such options. You know? You might just find out that it might just work. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think the world has gone insane. Flat out. Quite literally. Renewable ridiculousness run wild. So, all the propagandists, all the agitators, all the environmentalists and the government officials and corporations are out there running amok while people with common sense are going insane and getting locked up in straitjackets because they're trying to say there is such thing as free energy. If you can't find free energy, you simply haven't been paying attention and you haven't looked hard enough. Nature's provided all the energy we'd ever be able to use in a trillion, 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 quadrillion, bazillion, or whatever, lifetimes. You ain't going to run out of nothing. So, stop freaking out, man. And I believe it when I see it the day a doggone bird catches on fire flying over solar panels. That's a new one. Doggone wind turbines karate chopping buzzards in half. Heck, it might even chop the dude in half when he falls off of it. That'll probably create a ruckus at the bottom of the hill. I'm just saying. Somebody got to say it because apparently they're not teaching it in school. You need to give up the delusions of grandeur of having a utopia here in this world because the stupid people are in charge. The people who want to charge you money are in charge. Heck, you can't even die in peace. They want to take your gold tooth. And that's what we're up against. So all you folks out there who think that energy's free, well, I don't know what to tell you. Recycle that aluminum hat you're wearing. Make you some money. Recycle that 12-pack beer that you've been drinking. You know, make some money. Heck, buy you some more. Oh, yeah. I tell you what, just when you think you've seen and heard it all. Folks, working on the website, things are looking a lot better than they were. There are a few issues that need to be resolved, such as the new player that I've got up there. It takes a while, I guess, for Shoutcast to finally catch up to the stream. So you have to sometimes even close the browser and come back and get the news stream. This is part of the whole problem. But I'm going to try to put another player on there that will be a backup player. Or you could just jump over there to People for People Radio Network and you can listen to real time. So if you come to Shaziz and you're not hearing what you think is a podcast, go over there and double check with People for People Radio and you'll be able to tell whether or not, because it's going straight through to People for People. And depending on when you signed on, it will probably go on straight through with the radio player that's on there. But we had to change the radio player from a flash to what it is now because Google and all the other platforms are basically blocking out flash. So you wouldn't even be able to hear the radio show unless you're listening to the podcast page. So we're getting that resolved and we're almost all the way to complete secure. The problem is that if you got live video, it wants to tell you that it's not secure. when in reality it is secure, unless you go pay somebody else to broadcast your stream through a secured server, and then that code comes in, then you got it made. So they're making it hard for us to share the truth. They're making it really difficult to share information. But that ain't gonna stop us. So anyway, I really ain't got much more to say that I haven't already said. So let me see if I can find a tune short enough but yet long enough to get us up out of here on the right time frame. Can't find anything. I got an idea. Alright, I'll play this one here because I like it. There we go. I'm going to play this one here. It might make me run a little bit over, but if you're listening in, stay tuned for the Music with Kara Hour. I'm going to put this one in there because they say we're doomed. We're going to be riding a storm out with REO Speedwagon on the way out of the Mad Science Show. If you like the show, share it. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.